In this episode of Info Product Mastery, Andrew Connell and I discuss whether or not you should run a Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale. This is Info Product Mastery, episode 23. Welcome to Info Product Mastery, the podcast that helps developers make life-changing money by building and selling online courses. I'm your host, Adrian Rosebrock. And today we have Andrew Connell back on the show. In episode 7, AC and I discussed in-person training versus online education, along with his story on how he started and grew Voitanos, a set of courses to level up Microsoft 365 development skills. So AC, when this episode releases, it's going to be like mid-October, which means that Black Friday and Cyber Monday will be right around the corner, less than 30 days away. We both have a lot of experience building and running these Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales. So I thought it would be fun for you and me to talk about our experiences with big sales like this. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good to me. It's awesome. Getting scary knowing that it's coming up that fast.
I know, right? It's kind of that oh moment where you're like, oh, do I have anything planned for Black Friday? Like, I better start working on that.
Yeah.
You know, I think the first question is, you know, if someone is creating an info product, creating an online book or course, you know, should they run a Black Friday sale? Is this something that they should consider doing? What do you think?
Absolutely. And the funniest thing to me about this question is I ask myself this as well. And when I share with people that Black Friday is a big deal for me, even though I deal mostly with personally, I deal mostly not with B2C type customers, it's mostly B2B, even if they're like individual, it's all work related stuff. Everyone always wonders Black Friday is a consumer thing. It's not a work thing. And honestly, following your lead, I've had some success, but it's standing on the shoulders of giants, you being one of the giants. And it's amazing to me, it's how big of a deal it really is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's called Black Friday for a reason. You know, that's when the companies go into the black for the year, which is kind of scary. Like, if you're following a traditional calendar, being like, man, you spend 11 months in the red just so you can finally go in the black in the final month and a half of the year. That's a little terrifying. But I think Black Friday is a special time because you don't really need to sell that hard to people if you don't want to, because people are already in a buying mood. It's almost like all of the companies and marketing agencies in the world are just like pushing ads, pushing marketing so that everyone is just primed and ready to buy. It just takes the right nudge to get them to purchase.
I agree. It's everyone is they're conditioned to look for deals. They're conditioned to buy. This is the best time for them. It's the best time to try and approach people to try and get them to buy something, because that's what they're interested in doing. That's what they're looking for. The other thing too that surprised me, but it makes perfect sense now. Well, not once you've been through it, it's all, hindsight's 2020, is we always think of, at least for you and me, I've always thought of Black Friday as being a United States-based thing or North American thing, because Black Friday is generally the first day of shopping for the Christmas season, which is the day immediately following Thanksgiving, which is a United States holiday. But what I've found with it too, that was very surprising, is that Black Friday is just a name for something. It's more like a shopping season, because it looks like the rest of the world, the entire globe, is kind of looking at and saying, this is just when everybody puts things on sale. And so this is when we do, like in Florida, we have a tax holiday the weekend before school starts, so people can go through and buy clothes for their kids and stuff and then have to pay sales tax. And it's kind of the same thing, where it's like, this is the time that everybody is conditioned to look for the deals and look for the sales and to look for opportunities. And so they're ready to buy something. They've waited around to actually buy this week.
Yeah. Do you know what percentage, approximately, your business makes off Black Friday? I mean, when I ran PyImage Search, I mean, we could do in a 4 or 5 day period, that could be 20, maybe even 25% of our revenue for the entire year.
So it depends on the year when you ask me this, right? But I've had it. I mean, so I've done probably 5 of these now, 5 years. And I had one year that was 65%, 67%. The majority for me, though, has really been anywhere from 2 to 5 months of revenue comes over those 4 days from Friday through the following Monday. And my time frame, my focus is just Eastern Standard Time. So it's a GMT minus 4. So, and I usually don't start it on midnight. So it's usually a little bit less than 4 hours. I usually start at midday on that Friday. Mm-hmm. So I'd say anywhere from probably on average 3 to 5 months of revenue for an entire year is represented in those 4 days.
Yeah. And the way I like to think about that is it's almost like free money, you know, like just by creating like a sales page, sending out a couple emails, like offering like discounts or bonuses or whatever the incentive you want to be for Black Friday, you're just making these sales just hand over fist. Because like you said, everyone is just primed and ready to purchase because it's Black Friday. It's almost like this global holiday for sales.
It is. And, you know, and it's interesting too, because it presents some interesting challenges. I guess, you know, like a lot of sales, it presents some challenges to it. And I don't want to get into a lot of the challenges that I know that I've had with it too, but I think that there's stuff that we can definitely help and tell people that have worked for the two of us. But I think it's very much, the biggest thing that I learned from you that I found to be a huge advantage in this is planning it out, doing a lot of work ahead of time so that you're ready when it starts, but you've really got to prime the pump. So if you've ever done anything with like lawn equipment, you have like a gas trimmer or a gas weed eater, you know, you got to, you know, push that little bubble, you know, 10 times to get the gas going through the engine so that when you go to, you know, crank it the first time, it can start up right away. That's something that I think that a lot of people, and I didn't realize it, that a lot of people you really want to pay attention to and do ahead of time to get your potential customers, get them in the mood of like, know what's coming, know what you're going to be sharing with them. It's not something you could just throw together like the week of. It's like, oh yeah, I've been working on this for about a month. Okay. It's funny, as you tell friends who do this and they're like, friends in like the info product space, like, you're working on this in October? I'm like, oh, I've been thinking about this since June. But it's like, you know, I was going to put stuff together like the week before. I'm like, ah, you are so late, man. This is not what I would have done. I would have, like, if this episode drops in the middle of October, you might want to like start clearing your calendar out and start working on it right now with some of the things that we'll share with you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when we did Black Friday, I was planning 30, 45 days ahead of time. I'd have it all scoped out in a big Google Doc. I'd have calendar dates. Like, we would use like whatever project management tool we were using at the time, whether it was Trello or Jira, we had all those due dates just plugged right in there. So we knew exactly what was going to happen. So by the time like Black Friday actually rolled around, the only task we were really concerned with were just sanity checking any emails that were going out, just to make sure they were going out the right time, making sure all the links worked, and providing support, answering people's questions over email. That's where you want to be spending the majority of your time once Black Friday actually gets here. Because you're going to have people who are ready to buy, they're just going to need like a little bit of a nudge. They'll just have a clarifying question. And if you could get back to them quickly, then boom, you're going to make more sales, which also means like whether, you know, you work for yourself, if it's just you or you have employees, you need to make sure people are inside of your email inbox. Like that could be like Help Scout inbox, Gmail inbox, whatever you're using to manage your incoming email for potential customers. Make sure someone is in there like 12, 14 hours a day, responding to email, like boom, as soon as they come in. Because a quick reply during Black Friday can literally be an instantaneous sell.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. I mean, I think that when I coach people that I'm in a mastermind with who haven't done this in the past, they think about how busy Black Friday or Thanksgiving the Thursday before or over the weekend and that following Monday was Cyber Monday. They talk about how busy it's going to end up being. And I'm like, the busiest thing that you've really got going during those 4 days really should just be the stress of making sure that it's performing the way that you want it to perform and kind of be ready to pivot if something happens. So it's kind of like, you know, if you're making dinner you're doing a big dinner party and you're trying some new recipe out, or something's going to screw up. It's like, I need to be ready to bail and actually, and to fix something really quick. And not, when I say bail, I don't mean like, I shouldn't use the term bail actually, because that's not, I don't mean like, you know, give up and completely pivot, but it's more that, you know, where can I make an adjustment here to try and get something to work? Or where, like, I had accidentally, all my emails went out. They went out on Thursday. I tried to do it from midnight on Friday and I actually picked midnight on Thursday. So all of a sudden I wake up on Thanksgiving morning. I was going to go run a half marathon. I start seeing all these sales come in. I'm like, this is really cool. The day before, oh crap. Like, and you see that, but that's the kind of stress you want to deal with. You don't want to deal with so much of like trying to time stuff out, and you want everything to be kind of laid out ahead of time so that you're ready. And hopefully the most activity you've got is just updating your phone and looking at your Stripe dashboard or looking at your PayPal dashboard and seeing how things are coming in. I have a question for you when you do this, and it sounds like you did. Do you have like a blueprint or a roadmap that you follow like every year for Black Friday and just kind of fill in the blanks from that?
Yeah, effectively we do. I mean, the first email that goes out for Black Friday is actually 7 to 10 days before the sale even starts. And that's just kind of to let people know, like, hey, we're working on a Black Friday sale. It's going to be really big. And this is just the hype email. It's supposed to get people excited, let them know that something's coming down the pipeline. From there, the next email goes out 24 to 48 hours later, and it kind of discusses what's going to be involved in the sale. So whether it's discounts, the launch of a brand new product, any like bonuses or extras included in it. So that details like what the meat of it is, but we don't reveal the pricing yet. Mm-hmm. So we're just showing like, this is the special thing that's happening Black Friday, but we're not going to tell you the price just yet. So you want to slowly ease people into this, not because it's jarring, but because you're trying to hold their attention for as long as you possibly can. Like you want to get them really, really excited. And the best way to do that is, you know, I'm going to use the phrase stringing them along, which typically has a negative connotation, but I mean it in a very positive way, because you're not really stringing them along if they're holding on to the rope and desperately trying to climb it. You know, like they want to get to the top of that rope. So the longer you can make that rope and leading up to Black Friday, the more successful you're typically going to be. I always start off with the like, hey, big sale's coming, followed by this is the specialty of the sale, like whether it's bonuses or discounts. From there, 24 to 48 hours after that, we'll start getting into like the sale itself, where I'll start to describe how and where and when the sale is going to launch. So that's like a pretty short email. I'll say something along the lines of, hey, like our sale is going to be launching on this day. And if you purchase in the first 10 minutes, you're going to get 33% off. But for the rest of the sale after that, it's only going to be 25% off. And the idea there is you want to drive that urgency and scarcity as much as you possibly can. Because let's face it, in the digital world, like there's not much scarcity, right? Like it's not like you're going to run out of internet bandwidth. It's not like you're going to run out of storage or hosting for people to like enter in their credit card information and download their files. It's not like a physical limited stock where people go crazy at Target or Walmart trying to buy their TVs at 50% off, where there truly is like only 10 TVs at that price. You can't really do that in the digital world. You know, you got to be a little more clever with the types of discounts that you're offering. And I'll talk about ways that I actually have integrated physical products, like actual physical goods shipped to your house. You know, we can talk about that either later this episode or in a future one. But the point is like a week or 5 to 7 days before the sale even starts, you want people to know everything that they're getting. Because the idea is you want to plant the idea in their head of like, you need to pick out what product you want, because there's either going to be competition due to limited supply, or there's going to be a very small time frame where you can get the super awesome discount. So you better know what you want ahead of time.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because there's a bunch of things that like I see leading up to it that I too have also come up with a roadmap. I looked at what your roadmap was, tried to follow what your plan was as being a subscriber. And the first Black Friday I did, I was trying to mirror what you were doing, but of course I was trying to like keep up with what you were doing, and it was way too late to do that. So I tried my own. I was like, oh, okay, I'm okay. I was pretty impressed with what we did, and every year was seeing like sales double for about 3 or 4 years. Which is what was so painful, that 1 year that it didn't double, last year it actually like pulled way back, and I was like, well, that's a big swing in the different direction. Different reasons I made some mistakes. Anyway, one of the things that you just said though was you start to reach out to your customers like 5, 10 days ahead of time, letting them know what's going on. One of the things that I found was more beneficial, at least for me, I guess I should preface this that I really feel like, not just with info products, but I really feel with Black Friday, with your everybody's audience is going to be a little bit different. So like the people that I sell to, very different people you sell to, even though we both historically have sold to developers, but they're still very different kind of cohorts, very different demographics in terms of the kind of stuff that they're interested in. One of the things that I found that was more beneficial for me was to do some sort of a deal that was only going to be available in the email when they got an email. And so I used it as an opportunity to try and grow my list leading up to Black Friday. The way I would do that is I would actually start like 4 weeks ahead of time and send like one email a week and have unique content that would it would be a high value content, something that would be like an article that would explain something, a video that would explain something, not about Black Friday, but just about the tech, about the area that I focus on. But then part of it would be like a little bit of a hook and just be, like you said, stringing them along. It's not like you're going to turn the podcast on the first 5 seconds is, hey, this is how you do Black Friday. Here's our checklist. Oh, episode's over. Like, no, you got to tune in, listen to the whole thing. What I would do though is in that high value content is I would kind of explain, hey, we're doing this. We got a bunch of really good deals here, but the people who are only going to be able to see these deals and access that special, you know, I wouldn't say what it was like you, but a certain percentage off for the first 3 hours of Black Friday or the first 100 customers, 10 customers, whatever, are the people who are going to see it coming in their email. And so you got to subscribe to the mailing list to be able to do that. And I would also run both Facebook ads and Google ads to that same piece of content leading up to Black Friday. But one thing that I did pick up on that I found worked really, really well was shut off all of your ads for the most part once Black Friday starts, because, or at least like in the day or two beforehand, because the congestion and the competition for ads skyrockets that week of Black Friday. And especially during Black Friday, everyone's just throwing discounts left and right. And now it's a lot of just signal to noise ratio. But not only that, you're not going to just get lost in the shuffle, but you also find that you're going to end up blowing a ton of like ad budget for not much to show for it, because now the prices of ads have all skyrocketed over that weekend. So I found that it was like, okay, if I can get people on my email list leading up to it to let them know about Black Friday, to let them know about some of the deals that we're doing, but they have to be on the email list to find out what the deals are, or hey, yeah, we'll put them on the website. You're going to have to remember that they're actually there. But if you really want us to send you stuff, I try and promote it for about 3 or 4 weeks leading up to Black Friday. The first emails start to trickle out 4 to 5 weeks out. The ads start running about 4 to 5 weeks out, but then they all stop the week of Black Friday. Like that Monday is when I stop running those ads. And Monday or Tuesday, I think of Black Friday is when I stop running those ads to see. And it was a nice opportunity to also have a nice big spike of signups on my mailing list from cold people. All those ads as best I could, I would only target those ads to people who were all cold traffic, nobody that was already on my list.
Okay.
The best I could. And so then I could turn around and I'd almost treat Black Friday like a launch event, but not as a launch of a product, but launch of a discount. And then I could just go straight. And then I was just like, all right, cool. Now it doesn't cost me anything just to send emails out, but it would drive my costs up doing ads. The times that I would spend money on ads, like I remember I just for the heck of it, I had an ad budget of I think $5,000 or $7,000 for the entire weekend. It was like, I'm running these same ads, I'm running these ads, but then when Friday hits or Thursday hits, I'm ramping up those budgets to a couple $100 a day and just blowing it out all through Monday. I saw no difference in sales. I saw the ad views and impressions went way down and no difference on sales. And so I basically just took about $4,000 and just flushed it down the toilet for that weekend with no benefit to show for it. I read some stuff where people are like going, oh yeah, I use the ads to amplify my message leading up to it and pushing people to sign up for my mailing list. So your ads are just selling free information and selling a free sign up to an email list to get that benefit out of it. There was another resource too that I saw last year, I thought, which this kind of contradicts everything I just said, but Brendan Dunn, somebody that you and I are both familiar with, he did a complete like breakdown of his Black Friday experience last year that I thought was fascinating, and not a single dollar was spent on pay-per-click and not a single ad out there. I mean, it was interesting to see how he did it, but he was also the same thing. I'm targeting my email list. I was selling just to my email list, and he showed the conversion numbers. And it's like, so like that's a taking the stories that he shared last year. I plan on incorporating some of that into my stuff this year. I'm still going to use ads, but I'm still like leading up to it. I found that to be pretty interesting technique there. You're going to hear there's lots of different opinions from people doing different things and work for their different audiences, but you just got to find what works best for you and just keep tweaking it every year. Do you do the same thing every year?
No, we wouldn't. And actually, I want to put like a pin in like the ad thing, because I actually had a different experience, and I'll share that in a second. But I want to focus on what you said about treating Black Friday like not necessarily like a product launch, but a launch event, like treating the sale itself as if you were launching something gigantic and huge. I think that is perfectly set, because that's really at the end of the day, to make Black Friday successful, you need to align the entire business behind this event. So when we were getting ready for Black Friday, mid-October through like first week of December, all of our content that we were publishing for free that we're using as like our content marketing for SEO or going out to our email list, that was like the best of the best. Amazing content that you looked at and you're like, holy f- this is amazing. Like, I love what this blog post allows me to do. I love what I can accomplish with it. It was also eye-catching on social media. So we had demos, demo images, demo screenshots, like demo example videos, like all of that type of stuff just to draw people in and get as much attention on that super premium quality content that we could. And again, this was free. So if it got shared on social media, people came to our site. And since we were a developer-focused blog, all of our code was behind an email opt-in. So if you wanted the code to this, you know, super awesome thing that we just published, you had to enter in your email address. Boom, now we have your email address. We can start marketing to you for Black Friday. Mm. The other thing that I didn't do, but I saw other companies do well with some success, is a few weeks before Black Friday, they would have like this opt-in, like a complete website takeover style opt-in where you're on the site for like 20 seconds or you scrolled 50% through the page and boom, it says like, we're launching a huge Black Friday sale. You don't want to miss it. And enter in your email address to find out more details. I've seen that work and convert people onto your email list. I just kind of feel like that's almost like a poor man's way of doing it. Like it just doesn't feel organic and natural to me.
I completely agree with that. I've done it and I've seen it work and it does work, but it feels disingenuous to me. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't do the full takeover. What I do is I do put a banner across the top and just kind of giving people a teaser like, hey, this is coming and you want to get ready for it. If you want to be, you know, the first to find out what's going on, like the day or two beforehand, we'll send it out just to our email list. We'll send it exclusively to you guys and let you know about it. But then it's kind of, I mean, I always second guess myself when I do that, because then I'm like, well, why would I exclude other people from finding out about it that could also end up buying from this? Black Friday is like the one event of my sales, my marketing stuff that I have like so many, I feel like I'm pulled in two different directions all the time. Right. I've got a boatload of questions, a boatload of challenges that I end up running into, like going, I don't know how I'm going to solve this. And every year I walk out of it going, I still don't know how I'm going to solve it. I tried that. I don't know if I really like what I just did, or I get too scared about like trying something. I'm like, I'm not going to end up trying it. So it's challenging kind of a thing too. And then like the stress of, I've seen you rephrase it like this. I've never seen it phrased like this, but this is, I think it's, you nail it. All of your sales on that whole Black Friday thing, we talk about Black Friday, but it's really Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And sales are like shaped over that weekend like a V or a W, where everything happens at the beginning and everything happens at the end. But throughout the weekend, it's like, should I just leave the sale open or should I just close it down and have two different events? I mean, it's kind of like, it's a little stressful when you just see this lull going over Saturday and Sunday and not really knowing, do you do anything special about those days? Do you kind of act like those days don't exist? I mean, that part to me is stressful.
Yeah. I mean, I think you should be sending out email every single day of the sale. So, you know, we actually started our sales Thursday on Thanksgiving. So we would send out email Thursday and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Every single day we had an email going out and landing in people's inboxes. And some of those emails were just short and sweet. They're like, hey, the sale was live. Click this link to purchase that your coupon code will automatically be applied for you. Boom. Like, that's it. Like, short and sweet, simple call to action. Now's the time to purchase. But then over the weekend, we would, you know, that's when we would send in our case study emails, be like, look at what this person accomplished by going through our product. This is what you have to lose by not taking advantage of the sale. So we actually spent Saturday and Sunday doing a lot of education, a lot of saying like, this is what you can accomplish if you purchase our content. So that's something I recommend is if you launch your Black Friday sale, send out an email every day. Like your Friday email should be short and sweet. Boom, sales live, here's the link. Similarly on Monday, you know, I'll say you'll drive the urgency. This sale shuts down at midnight Eastern time or whatever time zone you're in. Make sure you purchase before then if you want to get the best deal of the year. Here's a link to purchase, right? Those are the two simplest emails that you will ever write for any sale. And they'll convert really well because people are in a buying mood. But the content in the middle, that's like the content that needs to be massaged a little bit. It has to be crafted specifically to your user base, to your subscribers. One tip I will add, when you send out an email on Monday for the sale close down email, include a countdown timer in that email. It's like, there's a ton of services that'll do this. My favorite was, I think it was motionmail.com. But you go in, you log in, and you set the ending time of your sale, and it generates a GIF image with probably, I don't know, like 3 minutes worth of actual countdown time in this image. And then it's dynamically served to people in their inboxes. And the way it works is technical, but basically it's the timestamp of when the request is made to the server to grab this image. Motion Mail generates those frames on the fly, sends back the GIF to the client. And then so if you were to refresh the page, the timestamp would change, and therefore you get the correct countdown timer. You put a countdown timer on anything, it is going to convert better. It's unreal, how that actually works.
It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy because it's like, I look at some of the techniques that we use, not just around Black Friday, but just in general, and it's like, that stuff doesn't work on me. But I mean, you see that it works, and you have to remember, I'm not the target audience. I'm not the target audience for this. It still works. You said something, I like the idea of, I hadn't thought about it like that, about like the Saturday, Sunday in the middle was more kind of, it was the educational, it was more the bona fides, it was more of the building up your brand, building up, telling case studies of how your other customers, how you've been able to help them. I like that compared to being the very salesy Friday and Monday pitch. And then I'm guessing on Monday as well, you don't just do just this many hours before the clock cuts out. It's like late in the day. It's like going only 6 hours left or like only 2 hours. Do you do one of those as well at the end of the day?
Yeah. So we'll do two emails on Monday. The first one is actually pretty organic because we always published content every Monday morning. So a new blog post would go out, the free tutorial. That email would have a link to the tutorial, but in the body, we'd also mention the Black Friday sale, and the PS of the email would also mention the Black Friday sale. So then about 8 to 10 hours before the sale was shut down, we would send out the true final email for Black Friday. Some people will send out another email 2 to 3 hours before the sale ends. I don't know, that depends on your audience. I think if you're sending out three emails on a single day, I think that's a little too pushy. But again, your audience may be dramatically different.
I would say the feedback that I've heard from a lot of people is that they send the one email before Black Friday or the day that it opens, and then they may send one on Monday, but they don't continuously keep the conversation going. And their fear is that I'm afraid that people are going to unsubscribe from my mailing list because they're going to be getting a bunch of email from me. Newsflash, they're getting a lot of email from everybody over that week, and they're not going to take the time to unsubscribe from everybody. There are some that are a little more noisy than others, but you're going to get loaded with pitches throughout the entire weekend. What I found, people just go through and delete it. They just don't, they just delete it. They're not going to jump into it. I had a question for you too. So you, what do you do in the physical, or what do you do outside of just taking your existing products and giving a discount? Do you do anything? I know you do, so I'm just trying to tee you up on this, but it's what special stuff do you do or have you done that you found to be effective, or the inverse, not effective, for trying to sell an info product to people?
You know, being in the info product business, essentially everything is digital, which is fine. It's easy. It's easier to create. It's easier to distribute. There's low overhead. That's what makes info product businesses so awesome to run. That said, there is something about the tangible factor that people really do enjoy. So what I've done in the past is I've offered to the first 10 customers who purchase during Black Friday, they'll get a free hand-signed copy edition of my book. So I would use services back in the day, Amazon's CreateSpace, which is now, I believe, Kindle Direct Publishing or whatever they call it. I've used different services to print physical editions of the book, but it's on-demand printing. I would order a bunch of copies, get them shipped to my house, hand sign them, and then I would manually mail out those 10 or 20 copies for the sale. It's a bit tedious, but if you do that, there is, by definition, scarcity in there. There are only 10 hand-signed editions. After that, they're gone. There's no more. I can't help you. You're out of luck. So I've done, that was the second Black Friday sale I ever ran. I included the hand-signed editions. Year after that, we were doing a lot of content with Raspberry Pi and Computer Vision and OpenCV. So I ordered 10 Raspberry Pis to my apartment. And the first 10 people who purchased, they got a Raspberry Pi. Then one year, when we got super into deep learning, I did an NVIDIA Jetson Nano. Each of those devices, I think, was $350. And I ordered 10 of those. So that sale was a nightmare for so many reasons. I mean, we made money, but we crashed the servers so hard. And when you crash a server during Black Friday, when people are just have their credit cards out ready to purchase, you know you're losing sales. That is just a horrendous, horrendous feeling. You know, and it was so bad that, you know, I felt guilty and I ended up ordering like 10 or 20 more Jets and Nanos. And that way, like, we gave away 30 of them for free for, because people were complaining about, hey, like, I tried to order, like, got booted from the site, all this other stuff. And that can be a real nightmare, which, you know, I think we'll have a separate conversation on infrastructure if you have a huge email list and like a huge audience and like what to do and what not to do for Black Friday if you're going down that route and you do believe there's going to be a true scarcity issue going on. But anything that you could do to inject a little bit of urgency in the tangible world, I think goes a long way. And even if you can't do something tangible, maybe it's something exclusive. Like for the first five people who purchase, they get a free one-on-one call to you to talk about whatever their problems are and how you can directly help them solve their issue. So you can get kind of creative with that. Like, I like physical stuff. I didn't really like the one-on-one calls because I didn't want to give up my time like that. You could do other things like bonus guides. Like, I've seen people like not offer a discount at all, but instead offer like an additional downloadable PDF guide or something. I've seen like buy one, get one free type of stuff or additional video tutorials. Like, be creative and also think about what your audience would like to see it as some sort of bonus.
Yeah, and I will add to that. So when you're thinking about what to give them as something special, think about something that you would not normally do. Like, so for me, I hate being on the phone, except for this. This is a lot of fun. I enjoy doing a podcast with you. But I hate being on the phone. Hate's a strong word, but there's strong words for strong feelings. Like, I really dislike one-on-one stuff because I feel that it's an ineffective use of my time. And I feel that for both of us, for both people that are on either end of this, I feel like we're really shortchanging each other. Because if you're asking me a question, hypothetically, if I was hosting it and you were calling me and you asked me a question, you're getting shortchanged because you're getting one opinion when there could be a lot of other people that are going to be giving an opinion. And I'm being shortchanged because I'm only able to talk to one potential person, whereas instead we do a lot of the info product digital stuff because we can do a one to many very easily. We can reach a much bigger audience. So with that being said, as even though I feel that strongly about it, and people understand that I feel that strongly about it, my customers do, especially, you know, they call up or they email, like, when I just need to get a little bit of your time just to bounce this idea off of you. I'm like, I don't do one-on-one, post it in the group chat and get a bunch of other opinions. But if you could offer something like that, where you can say, I'll do, you know, these three one-on-ones, you have to try those things out and see if they work. And I think that you'll find the hard part is you only get to do this once a year. Some things will work for your audience and other things won't, but for somebody else you talk to, they will. So like for me, I've tried to do those one-on-one calls. People know that I don't do it. The last time I did it, I only had three people opt into it and two of them never booked their calls. So I'm just like, that apparently wasn't very valuable. But then there's other things you can think of, like, you know, where would the value actually be? Like, I'll do a private office hours for, you know, just for like five people as like a group setting, and we'll just do, or jump on the hot seat. Let's work on your project together. The BOGO stuff, like buy one, get one free, or I've done buy four, get one free. It's weird because like that doesn't work on Black Friday for me, but it works on Cyber Monday. And because I find that there's more companies that are in the office on Monday than there are on Friday that are willing to go through and to jump in and take advantage of that kind of a deal because they're buying for their employees. Whereas on Friday, there was all a bunch of individuals that were end up buying it for themselves, or they're going to buy it and then go get reimbursed, but they're not buying it for a bunch of people at the same time. It's really weird. Like, you got to try out these different things on what you can, on what's going to work. A unique one for me, like if you buy at a certain level of my course, then you get access to our mastermind group, which is just a bunch of protected channels in our Discord server. I will give people, give you three months access to the Discord channel, to those Discord channels in the mastermind where you can ask those questions. You can see if the value is there without buying the top tier of the product. And then I just go through and remove that permission and you're no longer in it. Thinking about trying that this year and seeing how that works, and people see like, was there value there? Because people buy that top tier just to get that mastermind group and not for the actual content that I offer. So it's like, I mean, that's where I see like people get most of the value. So I think that there's those kinds of things where if you do like something unique for that week, that's maybe not physical. If you normally do a subscription model, then maybe you offer a one-time lifetime purchase that you could do. I've been on the receiving end of that one from multiple services where I think like a Deadline Funnel was one I think that they did where they just said lifetime one purchase, do it. I'm like, that's enough reason to jump in today. I've been on the fence about these guys. I'll jump in now.
I've seen something really cool work where maybe you only have one product, or maybe you don't even have a product at all, but you have a large email list. I've seen this work in the marketing copywriting space. And in fact, John McIntyre, the guy who runs Drop Dead Copy and the McMethod Marketing email podcast, what he did last year is he went around to all of his friends who are copywriters, and he said, I want to put together like the super Black Friday bundle for email copywriting. Will you throw in your course into the mix? I want to get like 10 people in on this. And then I'm going to offer a one-time sale at a huge discount, and then we'll all split the profits. We'll pull the money, split the profits. That worked out really well for him. And he had like, probably like if you had bought all this stuff individually, it probably would have cost you like $5,000, $10,000. You were able to scoop it up on Black Friday for like $495. So that discount like literally writes the subject and the body of your copy for itself. It's like, here's a huge discount on all the content. Those can work really well too. I just don't care for them as much because it seems like you're just trying to drown your customer in content instead of trying to provide them with like one specific product or one specific idea. Or what I would really rephrase it as is one specific pathway to follow to be successful. Because that's ultimately the goal of any product you sell, is you want your customer to buy it, to go through it, to see the path to success. Well, if you take 10 people with 10 different products, then by definition, you have 10 different pathways to success. And you're just kind of shoveling it, you know, to your user and making them drink from the fire hose sort of thing. That can work, but also realize that it may not be good as just one simple consolidated offer.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess another thing that I would say with this, you made me think about with the way you were just saying, the way you were explaining that. There's lots of different gimmicks, I guess, is a way, you know, I think like doing the physical stuff to me when you're doing info products and digital products, that the physical stuff is kind of a gimmick. I don't mean it as trivial as that, but this is the way I keep it in my head. I would be careful about trying to do too much of that for that Black Friday. So like there are, you know, we've thrown a couple different ideas out there, straight percent discount, time discounts, bonus guys, buy one, get one free, additional videos, one-on-one calls, et cetera, Raspberry Pis, signed copies of books. I play with the idea of giving away those PlayStation, those little PSPs, the handheld games. I played around with doing that one year as well. And I think that, you know, with all those different ideas, what you don't want to do is you don't want to do a lot of them. If anything, you may just want to do one or two at a time. So if you're going to do like one or two of them throughout the weekend, it's like, you know, the Raspberry Pis, that's Friday. And then we got another one that we're going to do on Monday. But I think it's one of those things you want to be careful. You don't try and overload your audience of just throwing everything at them. One thing that I did see Brendan Dunn do, he said last year, and I like this a lot. I'm going to do this year, is make it easy for your customers and your email list. Tell them what they should buy. Mm-hmm. So if you have multiple products, look at your email list, use the capabilities you've got in your email list, and tell them, like, do something that says, you know, based on what I know about you, if you're going to do one thing, this is the one thing that you need to get. You want to make sure that you've got something to be able to offer them. To me, if they're not, like if they're already a customer and they've bought everything that I have to offer, so there's no reason for it to do it, I do, you know, pitch the fact that, you know, I do affiliate marketing, and if you bring somebody in, then it's, I will give you a kickback, you know, $50 to you or something like that. But I like the idea of being able to just say, like, let's make it easy for you. This is the thing that you want. Yep. You're at this level of the course. There's one more level up here. You need to upgrade. That's the only thing you need to focus on. Upgrade this weekend.
I like that a lot. And I think, you know, we're starting to go a little long in this episode. I'm looking at our outline for like our brainstorm topics of Black Friday, Cyber Monday stuff, and you and I wanted to talk to. And I think we've like gone through maybe 15% of it. And earlier in the episode, I said, oh, I had a totally different experience with Facebook ads. I'll tell that story later in the episode. Now it's like half hour later. I'm like, yeah, we're not going to get that in today. So what I'm thinking is like maybe you and I, like, we should record a couple more Black Friday episodes and like kind of help people along. Like maybe it's not fully structured. Maybe just you and me, just two guys talking about the business, about making sales, about Black Friday. I think even in an unstructured manner, that people would still get value out of it. What do you think?
I love it. You've got a good tracker doing this. I'm very much like a cryptocurrency trading chart right now, like the price of the chart. Like I'm way up and down in different places. And I know there's tons of questions that I've experienced. And I know that if I've experienced those questions leading into a Black Friday, then I know other people have as well. And I'd love to just kind of like throw some out and the two of us just kind of talk through them, the plus and the minus. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go about this. It's such a unique thing.
It being is.
That you can only do this once a year.
And it can have huge impacts on your revenue. Huge impacts. Like it's a big deal, and I think it deserves multiple episodes. So, you know, you and I will make some time and we'll definitely record at least one, maybe even 2 to 3 more episodes on Black Friday. I think it deserves its own little mini series on it. The other thing I wanted to ask you is like, what do you think, like in terms of helping other people out? Like, I don't know. I've had this idea, and you and I have discussed this offline before, like some sort of like info product, like community, like for where people could like come together and ask questions, help each other out, like probably behind like a paywall of some sort, because, you know, I find that like paid communities tend to have more value because people have skin in the game. And it also helps people contribute more because they feel like people aren't there just lurking and stalking like on Reddit or, you know, Hacker News, just looking to scoop people's tactics. I don't know. Like, I've been batting this idea back and forth. Like, what are your feelings on it?
I love the idea of having a community for this. I mean, you and I come from a community where it's very much a SaaS community. Very good community. God, I sound like a politician now. But it is MicroConf, and it's a fantastic community. But, you know, they're very, very much SaaS focused these days. And I feel like one of the things I was so excited when I saw you doing that you were going to put together this podcast was that there would be an opportunity for people to discuss this. I mean, you've only got a couple episodes into your show. And I mean, I'm loving the content and hearing what these different stories are from these different people that are in the same space. I would love to see a community. I mean, selfishly, a Discord, a Slack, having something like that that people can get into. And we can discuss this and banter these different ideas around, kind of like a broader mastermind thing. I love the idea of that. I've been wanting to bring that up to you, but I was never going to ask it on the show and put you on the spot like this. So the fact that you started asking this, I'm like, oh, sweet, I can give you my thoughts now.
I was just poking around thinking like Discord, Slack, like discourse community forums. And, you know, Circle.so is so popular now. Like so many people like just run like their own community groups on Circle.so. I was like, that could be like a good fun option. It's like it's like a Notion interface, but with like community aspects. It's such a great little app.
It is. We just switched over. Our company just switched off of using Facebook groups for our community and switched over to using Discord. The engagement has skyrocketed. And I'm very, very happy with it in terms of it being a resource. I mean, I still use Slack for two different groups that I'm in or two networks that I'm in, but I'm much partial to using Discord. I love it's for gamers, but I do like the ability to be able to like to jump on, do calls with people or to be able to do like a group call or a voice chat. And it's got like a fun aspect to it. So it's nothing negative against Circle. It's just, I think a Discord is, they're doing a really good job with stuff like this.
The only gripe I've had with Discord in the past, and granted it's probably been 6 months that I've been part of a Discord community, was it felt like too Slack like to me, in the sense that I don't know how useful a chat log is effectively for someone trying to learn these topics versus like a community forum. And I'm not talking like old school like PHP bulletin board forums from like the late 90s or like 2000s. Like I'm talking like discourse community. There's a difference between discourse, the forums, and Discord, you know, the effect of like Slack similar app. So I don't know, like for that reason, like I think maybe more community forum based, but I don't know. Like you have an opinion on that?
I do. And I'm starting to sound like a one trick pony here. So it's in beta right now, but Discord is rolling out forums, which very much looks like what you're talking about, where if you go to discourse, and you can post a message and you have like a real thread and have a full long conversation about it. Or it's like a pinned forum, like ask questions related to this, not a channel, but where people can ask a question and it feels a little bit more like Reddit. That is something that they are rolling out right now. It got pitched to our server and saying that we could opt into the beta. And I was like, we just started our server up, or I just started mine up for a company. I was like, I don't want to overload my students with this yet, but I'm in one that uses it and it looks really good. So I like it because it feels like I'm getting the best of both worlds. If I want to use a forum, great. If I want to do the chat side, great. You know, I think it's hard because it's very much like asking somebody how they like to learn. Would you rather go to YouTube and learn the content, or would you rather get a course that you're going to actually run through and see like a prescribed path? It's hard to observe and see what people like because there's two very different classes of people that are going to go in that direction. For me, I'd rather see like a chat thing to where I can ask questions or do a search on something, try and find it. But I'm not going to go through a forum to try and find it. If it's not on the first page of Reddit, I'm done. I'm not going to see on the first page of that subreddit that I go to. I'm not going to search for something on there. I get kind of the same thing with Discourse, or I forget what the other one is, but there's another one that's like that where you can go search for something. And I just feel like the old content isn't as visible. It doesn't bubble up as much. And so the benefit they talk about with like the different forums, it's like, yeah, but does anybody go back and look at those old forums? Like, I mean, you're not Stack Overflow. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I think it can be both. I mean, the marketing stuff that changes so often with our stuff. I mean, it's like a chat kind of works for me. Not like a Twitter style chat, but like a chat that's, you know, where you can just keep asking questions, start up a thread, and have a dialogue going back and forth. So.
I was thinking maybe I just create like a shared Google Doc between like 100 people, and then like people can write conversations back and forth. How do you think that would go?
That'd be great.
You could probably charge like $90 a month for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? A paste bin that's just edit everybody? Everybody can. That'll look great.
What's the worst thing that could happen? The worst thing.
Nah, nothing. It's great. Just put some private stuff in there, maybe a passport or two. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I was going to just like upload like my passport photo, scan on my driver's license, you know, mother's maiden name, social security number.
That's a great idea, right? Yeah, there's awesome. So many different options. I'd be curious to hear what your listeners think about. Like, what would they prefer? A Slack, a Discord, or Discourse, or Circle?
Yeah, so. Definitely. Like, if you're listening to this episode and you have a preference on your preferred method of communication, if you're like, do you like forums? Do you like more chat apps like Slack? You know, let us know. This is all helpful information as we continue to revise the podcast and just figure out exactly what it is that we're building. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being on the show, AC. You know, you and I, we're going to get together again and we're going to record a couple more Black Friday episodes.
Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot for having me again. It's been great to come back and keep up the great work with the show, man. I'm absolutely loving this. You're doing a great job.
Thanks so much. If you have any questions for this episode or suggestions for future episodes, send me an email at questions@infoproductmastery.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review in whatever podcatcher app you use, whether it's Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or Spotify. Not only do these reviews help motivate me to create new episodes, but they also help other developers, educators, and entrepreneurs find the show. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.